We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples chatting here today with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy. City Commission meets virtually tonight, 7 p.m. They meet every couple weeks. Tonight there's a discussion, as we mentioned, the police department update. That'll be the first item on the general agenda. Item B is it's more bad news. I'm just ripped the Band-Aid off here. But the first quarter report for Convention and Visitors Bureau, and it'll be made by Karen Hibbard. And what are you guys expecting to learn here tonight about that?
Well, one of the things that is obviously this is the tourism industry's been and the hospitality industry's been devastated by the virus. Karen will report. I guess the only good news is that we received the transient guest tax money, kind of like our sales tax that's in arrears. So the last 3 months of 2019 funds the first quarter of 2020. So we'll actually have two decent quarters of funding. But for example, the budget in the transient guest tax about $2.1 million. We're estimating that we're probably only going to get about $1.1 million, which is mostly we've already gotten that amount. But the expenditures, obviously, then we're going to have to match that revenue. And so the biggest recipient is our Convention and Visitors Bureau with about $1.4 million budget. We anticipate they'll probably get less than half of that amount. This year, they do have a reserve fund that could be drawn on to help with them. Some of the other agencies, downtown, Aggieville, the Arts Center, are all recipients. And then we have debt service coverage out of that fund for some of the sports turf out at Annenberg, and then also some of the conference center expansion, or some of the existing conference center debt. So all of those will have to be looked at about how we recover from those. Karen's report stipulates that 45 meetings have been canceled from mid-March through June, basically, affecting over 13,000 attendees that have about a $6.8 million economic impact, typically. And of those, only 12 of those 45 have been rescheduled for later in the year. So, who knows how that's going to be? I mean, a lot of folks, we probably don't have travel budgets left to be able to go to a lot of those things. So I think it'll be impactful well into next year, even with a reasonable recovery.
Well, that's a drastic loss. Yeah. Go ahead, Yusha.
I was going to say it is a huge loss, and I think it's going to be more than 2 years, mainly because, as Ron was mentioning, I'm pretty sure most organizations are taking travel budget off of their off of their line items. And also, we don't know what the travel industry itself is going to look like, how many people are going to be starting to fly again to other communities, to those hot spots or international travels. And then habits change. You know, people might be comfortable with doing an online conference, having online concurrent sessions. So it'll be interesting to see how this looks in the next 1 or 2 years. But at the same time, incidences such as this also have to make us reevaluate and see what we need to do differently, because our normal is going to look very different, even from meetings and conferences and events, and we need to plan accordingly. But certainly what we're feeling in March as far as our CVB numbers are concerned is being felt by not only in the United States, but internationally. So we have to figure out how to come out of this and make sure that we are still meeting the needs of our community.
Yeah.
On the bright side, I think there's been between 16 and 25% occupancy. Some of our local hotels are closed, but we, due to our strong construction activity, we have quite a few construction crews that are utilizing facilities. So it varies by facility, but that's certainly been helpful for those folks, certainly.
And you know, that construction is continuing on the conference center expansion. Has that on any with the pandemic?
It has a little bit. My understanding is, obviously, you know, the HCW, who owns the hotel and conference center, is managing that. I think they've had some issues with materials, which, again, as the economy slows and production slows in various sectors, then the availability of material to complete construction becomes a little more challenging as well. But I think that's the only thing that's holding them up a little bit, is otherwise they're planning to proceed and finish that. They're very well along with that expansion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's frustrating to, you know, you get that passed and approved and maybe get it open here in the next year or so, and then have something like this happen. It's very devastating. As you mentioned, we don't know what conferences are going to look like here in the next couple of years. You may be right. Usually we may see more folks going virtually.
Yeah, right.
I think we do have an opportunity to for those to host some of those, but mm-hmm. I think one of the advantages of extra space is you've got more space to spread people out, if that's certainly an option. And as we saw with the Air Force Academy graduation this past weekend, that's exactly what they did.
All right. Well, the other item on the agenda tonight here, we've kind of already discussed quite a bit, COVID-19 updates and discussion, and I imagine there'll be more of that here this evening. Do you want to get into the consent agenda a little bit?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
We are starting the process to issue some bonds and some temporary notes for construction financing. We're recommending the commission approve these resolutions setting May 19th for those dates. Those are going to be, obviously, the whole bond market has been interesting to observe, and as such, especially the municipal bond market. But so we're recommending we do a negotiated sale, and that's not unusual. That occurs even when things are normal. But we've contacted some of the past bidders and some that have successfully been multiple bid winners over the past several years, and they've agreed to be a representative for these two bond issues, and so we anticipate that should go well. We have about $4.6 million in special assessment bonds in subdivision work, and we have about $10.5 million in capital projects that we need to get permanent financing for. Both of those are on construction notes that expire later this year. So it's important to get those converted. I guess the other aspect we do anticipate very favorable interest rates as a result of this. We also have a temp note sale of about $21.9 million in construction. Again, these are our construction financing that lasts usually about 3 to 4 years before we convert it. So there's no permanent debt service on any of these temporary notes for another year. Some folks have advocated we should stop construction on these projects because we would have that savings. Well, there's no cash that are going into these particular projects that would give us those immediate savings that we need. These are several years down the road before they would have budget impact. Also on the consent agenda, we've got recommending a consultant for our Northwest Water Transmission Main project, recommending Bartlett and West for that out of a competitive selection process. And then we had recommended, the commission had approved Olson and Associates for the South Manhattan Stormwater Interceptor project. This is a large infrastructure project, almost estimated to be $9 million, that is currently scheduled to occur next year for bidding. It would be designed, but this initial phase is actually a contract in the amount of $19,360 out of the stormwater fund that would allow them to do two different alignment studies to see which one would be best to cross. This has to go under the Union Pacific Railroad and through the levee. And as such, there's also a letter for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to do a betterment project on the levee where this will have a new gate structure as a part of that process. We also have a recommending award of a human capital management platform. This is something that we have for our payroll and different other HR management that we've been working on. It's in the CIP. It was in for $50,000, and we've actually cut that to about $25,000, so about half the cost for this. Two-thirds of this fund was originally out of utilities and a third out of the general fund. This will allow us to be much more efficient across multiple platforms, replacing very old equipment and processes. So we highly recommend proceeding with this because it will be a cost savings for us in the long run. We also have an outside-the-city sewer agreement, which I know you've been reporting on with Mr. Wells, and an agreement for back payment of sanitary sewer service at 3605 and 3609 Anderson. And then we also have a proposed fee in lieu of payment, in lieu of stormwater detention for a development project at the southeast corner of North Manhattan Avenue and Kearney Street. This would be to provide for a fee in lieu of putting stormwater in this system and contribute to a larger capital improvement project.
Okay, so quite a few different things there tonight, and I mean, quite a meeting, and you guys will be meeting virtually, as mentioned. This has been going on for a few weeks now. How do people get public comment to you if they do want to request that?
Sure. So on our website at cityofmhk.com, there's a banner button there where folks can submit public comment. That'll take you to an area where you can either submit a written comment on a consent agenda item or a written comment on a general agenda item.
Okay, pretty easy there then. Mayor, do you have any final comments here?
I think we have a kind of missed having our work sessions. Normally, we would have our CPD and CDB during a work session. So I would, at some point like to get back to something like that so we can discuss our legislative items also on the legislative session. And we made the meetings a little bit, quote-unquote, lighter so that we can take care of the needs of the community and discuss some of the impactful legislative items when the community can be involved more by coming to our meetings and such. I don't know when that's going to be, but we'll have to wait and see. I am not a big fan of Zoom meetings. I'm not a big fan of having just two meetings a month. I feel there's a lot of dialogue that's being missed. And, there's a lot of concerns in our community for individuals that are not getting their unemployment claims through to the state of Kansas. A lot of challenges with food pantries and things of such. And those are discussions that we still need to have, but at different platforms. And I just want to make sure the community understands we are aware of these problems and trying to figure out solutions for them as well. And it'll be interesting to see what K-12 is in August, if they're going to be opening up completely, and what Kansas State University does in the fall as well. Those are two major reasons why our numbers have been low and why the demographic of individuals that are being tested positive is also that age is so low compared to other regions. So we have pieces to the puzzle as we look forward to the future for the next couple of months.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Mayor, appreciate it. And City Manager Fear, thank you so much. City Commission, again, meeting at 7 o'clock tonight. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right, that'll do it for In Focus here on this Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have Riley County Schools and a member of Housing and Credit Counseling.
It's 10 a.m. at News Radio KMAN.